You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So the Chinese government has attempted to demolish a newly built mosque in its western region, citing it hasn't been given proper building permits. It is followed by the UN Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, claiming that China is holding 1 million Muslim Uyghurs in camps. I am finding out why Beijing is tightening its control over Chinese Muslims. Last week, in a rare act of demonstration, hundreds of Hui Muslims engaged in a standoff with authorities in northwestern China to prevent their mosque from being demolished. Despite officials said the newly built Weizhou Grand Mosque in the Ningxia region had not been given proper building permits, worshippers still refused to back down. For centuries, Muslim mosques there were built in a more Chinese style, but the Weizhou Mosque, which has several soaring minarets and domes, is built in a Middle Eastern style. This is not the first time that the Chinese government targeted Muslims in its northwestern region. Last year, the government in the far western region of Xinjiang, which is the homeland of Muslim Uyghurs, banned people from having long beards and wearing veils in public places.
Only males over 45 are allowed to grow a beard, considered by some a symbol of religious piety. Economic necessity means many have no choice but to comply with the new regulations.
We can't get a job if we have a beard. It's just easier not to have one.
For people like Abdul Rahman, who makes knives for a living, the problem is nobody's buying.
Uyghurs are not allowed to carry knives on the streets, and we are not allowed to sell knives longer than 20 centimeters.
Also, after several terror attacks, including an attack on Tiananmen Square in Beijing in October 2013, surveillance on Muslims populated areas in China are increasingly tightened.
In China's far northwest, feels like traveling in a war zone.
So we're here in Urumqi, which is the capital of Xinjiang, in a market downtown. The security here is incredibly tight. There are armored cars on the street, police stations on every corner, and tons of surveillance cameras.
In the past year, police have stepped up security. The region is now under what's probably the most intense government surveillance in the world. Here, China is experimenting with futuristic spying technologies. For years, China has tried to suppress a separatist movement made up of Uyghurs, a local ethnic group. Authorities say the separatists are Islamic terrorists. To be in Xinjiang means being checked every day, multiple times a day. When you go to a market, when you drive a car, when you take a train, even your smartphone is checked.
But before I go into further why Beijing is ruling Muslim-populated areas with an iron fist, I'm going to have a brief rundown of the history of Muslims in China. Out of the 1.4 billion population in China, only about 23 million are Muslim. Most of them are either the Hui people or the Uyghurs. The Hui people, whose 10 million strong population is spread across China, are descendants of intermarriages between Han Chinese women and Persian or Arab Silk Road traders. Beijing has been more tolerant towards the Hui, allowing them to practice their religion mostly free as they are well integrated with the rest of the country. Uyghurs, on the other hand, are not related to Han Chinese. Indigenous to the Xinjiang region in China's far west, their language is related to Turkish and they are culturally closer to Central than East Asia. Here's a description of Kashgar, a city in the region.
Welcome to Kashgar, closer to Baghdad than it is to Beijing. And the feel of the Middle East is everywhere. The look, the food, the language, none of it is Chinese.
Having occasional independence in the past, Xinjiang came under communist Chinese rule in 1949. The reason why relations between Han Chinese and Muslims, in this case Uyghurs, are tense is complex, but I'm going to summarize them as economic and cultural factors. When China underwent economic reform in the late 1970s, the rich oil and mineral deposits in western areas attracted young, skillful Han Chinese to migrate there from eastern provinces. With more and more Han Chinese moving into western China, especially Xinjiang, resentment started to grow against Han Chinese as Uyghurs believe that Beijing is trying to dilute their culture and religion through mass migration. Also, Uyghurs believe they are not receiving a better share in the profits of the region's economic boom, since Han Chinese have better jobs and are better off economically. Continuing reforms in the 1980s also contributed to the rise of militant separatism a decade later. During that period, restrictions are loosened to allow Muslims, such as Uyghurs, to go on pilgrimage in Mecca. However, some Uyghurs used that opportunity to contact radical Islamist groups operating in Central Asia and Pakistan. Spurred on by the independence of Muslim-dominated republics in Central Asia, such as Kazakhstan from the Soviet Union, militant Uyghurs launched various terrorist attacks in western China during the late 1990s to force Beijing to give independence to Muslim-dominated areas. China since then used a stick-and-carrot approach to respond to rising separatists. In the 2000s, the Chinese premier then, Zhu Rongji, implemented a plan to develop Chinese western regions, which includes building canals and reservoirs to divert irrigation water from rivers to drier areas in Xinjiang. Beijing also used a different methods to deter Muslims from conducting religious activities to, quote, combat religious extremism. These included banning adults from attending prayers at mosques, restricted circulation of the Quran, sending descendants to re-education camps, closing down religious schools, and forcing some to convert to other religions. However, Uyghur resentment to Han Chinese reached to an all-time high in June 2009 after a brawl between Han and Uyghur workers in a toy factory in Shaoguan in the southern regions of China, killing two Uyghurs. The week after, a riot broke out in Urumqi, the capital of Xinjiang, by about 1,000 Uyghurs. 197 people were killed, mostly Han Chinese. Here is a Hong Kong news report in Urumqi 2 days after the riot, which they report that local Han Chinese held a demonstration while bearing knives and axes, and they threatened to retaliate should any rioting happen.
几千个汉人唱着国歌，下昼由四方八面涌到维吾尔人聚居的地区。人民广场一带有人手持斧头。 同刀，仲有木棍同铁棍，不时就高叫口号。佢哋声言，如果再有骚乱，会向知识分子还击。
Today, the United Nations Committee on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination claimed that China is holding a million Uyghurs in, quote, counter-extremism centers, where they are forced to renounce their ethnic and religious identities and swear loyalty to the Communist Party and Chinese President Xi Jinping. Rights group Amnesty International says the current move to demolish the Ningxia Mosque is an indication that the government is now looking to extend control over other Muslim ethnic minorities. Researcher Patrick Poon tells the BBC he believes the Chinese government's hostility towards Muslims in China is not only limited to Uyghurs, as the decision to destroy a Hui mosque proves that the government is determined to use a heavy-handed approach towards ethnic minorities, given that Hui Muslims are more integrated with the rest of the country. Despite Beijing denies the existence of education camps and claims the other restrictions belong to a, quote, campaign against terrorism, it seems to me Beijing is attempting to stabilize Xinjiang as much as it can to implement its Belt and Road Initiative.
It's 2013, and Chinese President Xi Jinping is giving a speech in Kazakhstan, where he mentions the ancient Silk Road. a network of trade routes that spread goods, ideas, and culture across Europe, the Middle East, and China as far back as 200 BC. He then says,
we should take an innovative approach and jointly build an economic belt along the Silk Road.
The Silk Road is an ancient trade route that connected the East and West from around 114 BC to the 15th century. Muslim-dominated areas like Xinjiang and Ningxia were part of Chinese Western frontier. Under the Belt and Road Initiative, two new land corridors that emulate the Silk Road will be passing through these areas. The first one, the new Eurasian Land Bridge, which runs from Western China to Western Russia through Kazakhstan, will be able to allow freight trains to depart from ports in Eastern China to cities like Rotterdam in the Netherlands. The other one, the China Central Asia Western Asia Corridor, connects Western China and Istanbul through the Middle East. According to state agency Xinhua, the initiative can bring plenty of opportunities to Xinjiang and Ningxia. However, under the threat of the Islamic State or Uyghur separatists attempting an attack in China, especially in the Western region, Beijing will not be taking any chances to allow militants recruiting fighters on their doorstep or backyard. And by heavily restricting Chinese Muslims from worshipping their religion, there will be fewer chances for terrorist cells to recruit new members. But on the bigger picture, it forcibly rewires the thinking of Muslims to align themselves with the Han Chinese identity instead of the Central Asian one. Not only it trumps the Uyghurs' or others' desire for independence, but it also stabilizes the region and local authorities can use this stability to promote itself as a good place to do business inside the Belt and Road Initiative. The history of racial tension between Han Chinese and Muslims are long and violent, with no side looking to back down easily. At its rate, despite Beijing has all the best cards, they will be treading a fine line, as it does not want to be portrayed as a police state full of brutal re-education camps in the international community, because this will provoke a terrifying backlash amongst her allies, especially those in Central Asia, with its Grand Belt and Road Initiative likely among the casualties.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.